you, and really, where do you get your values from? We're going to read Psalm 11 first, and then we're going to go talk about this thing of values. In the Lord I take refuge. How then can you say to me, flee like a bird to your mountain? For look, the wicked bend their bows. They set their arrows against the strings to shoot from the shadows at the upright in heart. When the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is on his heavenly throne. He observes everyone on earth. His eyes examine them. The Lord examines the righteous, but the wicked, those who love violence, he hates with a passion. On the wicked, he'll rain fiery coals and burning sulfur. A scorching wind will be their lot. For the Lord is righteous. He loves justice. The upright will see his face. So I want to talk to you today about what you value. And some of you, well, I think everybody in this room is old enough to remember Dan Quayle when he was running for vice president. Mm-hmm. And he dared make a statement against Murphy Brown. I want to talk to you just a minute. Dan Quayle, Murphy Brown, Woody Allen, King Solomon, and Jesus Christ all have this in common. They all spoke about values. And Dan Quayle, as he was running for vice president, made a comment about Murphy Brown. For those who don't remember, Murphy Brown was an actress on TV, and she portrayed a TV character that was not married, but had a baby. Out of wedlock, of course. And Dan Quayle made a statement. He said, it was probably not in the best interest of our society to portray this single woman having a baby out of wedlock as a normal happening. And there was a huge uproar. How dare Dan Quayle speak against Murphy Brown? How dare he say that you shouldn't have a child out of wedlock? It's none of his business. Well, others said, Dan Quayle, it's about time somebody took a stand for morality in our nation. Joel Klein in Newsweek magazine wrote, Dan Quayle has nudged presidential politics perilously close to something significant, a discussion of values. Our nation was pretty well founded on the Word of God. Our nation had godly values, pretty much. Now, I'm not going to say everybody, but the majority of people, when I was a young boy, the majority of people in our nation still believed the Bible was God's word. Now, maybe they didn't obey it, but at least they thought it's really truth. Today, we've changed. Today, if you ask most young people, is the Bible absolute truth? Most young people, unless they've been brought up in a fundamental church, most of them are going to say, no, there is no such thing as absolute truth. Well, the Bible claims exactly the opposite. The Word of God claims to be absolute truth. Our culture has a wide variation of values today. What people think is true and what people think is false is all over the map. And you probably have heard the term culture wars. And that's really what we're in today. We are in a culture at war with one another's values. So just 65 years ago, most of our land pretty much had somewhat at least similar values. Yeah, there was Democrat and there were Republican, but they were nowhere near as far apart as they are today. One party especially has really, really changed. And so we have to look at these things. Today it's impossible to get people to even articulate their values because most people in our society today don't even know what their values are because they keep changing. Today this is what I believe, but I may not believe that tomorrow. Folks, our values are extremely important according to the Word of God. In Psalm 11, verse 3 again, It says, when the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? And we are living in a generation today where the foundations of our nation are literally being destroyed. Many churches that used to be faithful to the Word of God, even our churches are going away from the Word of God as the foundation of truth. 65 years ago, I don't know, there may have been one or two churches in the whole country that would have said homosexual marriage is a good thing. I couldn't believe it. As a boy, you never even hardly heard of such a thing, but everybody you knew was against it. 65 years ago, there would have hardly been a church in America that I can remember ever hearing about that would have said a young man and a young woman living together outside of marriage, God just loves that. But folks, you can find churches everywhere today that preach that. Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, Presbyterian, it doesn't matter, Lutheran. There are churches in all those groups that believe that. 65 years ago in America, you could not have found a church, at least none that I knew of, that would say communism is a good thing. But you can find that today in almost every denomination. The old church I went to as a boy, a Baptist church, supported communism. I didn't know it until after I got saved, but they did. Folks, that's an amazing thing. I was 25 when I got saved, but prior to that, the old pastor would have been outraged at what they did. So, very important values. So, what are values? Values are those beliefs that we hold to be that control the way we live. What you value is what you're going to live by. So, a mistake that many people make is that because I believe something, that's what I value. I got to tell you, there are a lot of people that believe the Bible, but don't live according to the Bible. They have a higher value, and that's where we have to be careful. Many people profess faith in Christ, they profess faith in the Bible, but they don't make the Lord Lord of their lives, and they don't make the Bible a standard for truth for their lives. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, "For where your treasure is," Jesus said, "there will your heart be also." And so what you value is where your heart is. What you say you believe may not be what you value most. Because Jesus went on in Matthew 7, verse 15, and he said, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruits, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and perform many miracles?' Then I will profess to them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" In Christ's sight, evildoers are doing things that God in his word tells us not to do. And many people that profess the name of Christ are living in rebellion to the word of God and to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are in a time now that we've never seen before. The Bible talks about it. People will call evil good and good evil. We are there today. In Proverbs 11, verse 3, it says, "The integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity." Now, duplicity is a word we don't use a lot. Does anybody know what duplicity means? Absolutely. You say you believe this is right. This is the way you ought to live. And then you live exactly the opposite. In other words, somebody says, I believe it's sin to get drunk. But I'm going out with my friends on Friday night, and man, we're going to tie one on. That's duplicity. And when you say you believe something, but you live the opposite, what you live opposite is what's in your heart as your primary value. For many people who claim to be Christians, walking in fellowship with Jesus Christ is value number 10, or 20, or 30. It's not value number one. In John chapter 10, verse 27, I always tell people, if you can live in known sin and you can stay in it, you better examine your salvation. That should be a red light. But for many people, it's not. They think that's just normal. John 10, 27 says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. If you're truly a disciple of Christ, it doesn't mean you're never going to sin. But a sheep, when it falls in the mud, what does it do? A sheep begins to bleat out, let me out of here. I hate this. I'm all muddy. What does a pig do when they fall in the mud? Oh, man, this is just right. I love this. And that's one of the things sin should resolve in our hearts. Am I a lamb of God or am I a pig? Many people who call on the name of the Lord are living like pigs, and they think it's okay. Folks, it's not okay. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, it says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins. And in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. And I can't tell you how many people that I've known over the years that know exactly what they're doing is sin, but they won't stop. But they're going to heaven, they feel. Folks, we have to be careful here because Jesus has given us a warning. Not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, is going. The thief on the cross, he was guilty. He was a sinner. But he confessed, Lord, from his heart. A lot of people are confessing, Lord, with their minds and their tongues, but it never gets to the heart. And if it doesn't get to the heart, it's no good. Many people that think they're going to heaven, sadly, according to the Word of God, are not going to make it. In 2 Corinthians 13:5, the Word of God says, examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. So what's the test? How do we test? Are we really in Christ? Well, Jesus gave us a pretty clear test. He said in John 14, verse 15, if you love me, you will obey what I command. For the majority of your life, are you obeying what Christ has commanded? Or are you still like a rebellious child? Mom and dad tell you what to do, but I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm in charge. Folks, if you're a Christian, you're not in charge. You don't want to be in charge. You realize God can do a far better job of running my life than I ever could. I want to be in submission. In James chapter 1, verse 22, It says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he's heard, but doing it, he'll be blessed in what he does. In Psalm 36, verse 2, it says, for in his own eyes, he flatters himself too much to detect or hate his sin. And many people who call themselves Christian are so infatuated with their own values and their own desires that they forget one day they have to give an accounting. Folks, one of these days, you're going to realize your values, if they're contrary to God's values, were not good values. It doesn't matter how convinced you are. In Proverbs 23, verse 7, the Bible says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Folks, what you think in your heart is extremely important. The Bible says in Proverbs 4, 23, above all things, guard your heart, for out of it are the issues of life. What you value most in your heart is going to determine the choices you're going to make in life. And if what you value in your heart is contrary to the Word of God, it's going to get you into all kinds of trouble. That's why we need to study the Word of God so that we can find out what He values and we can get in line. When I was in the military, the drill sergeant would call it the cadence, left, right, left, right. And when Larkin would get out of step, I would hear those familiar words. Larkin, you're out of step. You would take a half a step and get back in cadence. Folks, that's what the Lord wants us to do. When the Holy Spirit says to you, you're out of step, you got to do something. You've got to change. You can't just keep going. Everybody has a lifestyle. But behind every lifestyle is a series of values. And that's what we want to talk about tonight. Christians adopt a certain lifestyle. And that lifestyle is based upon the Word of God. And the Word of God is meant to change our values. The things that I used to be enthralled with, I found out they were sinful. God's not going to change what He tells you is right and wrong. And so if you're going to get in step with the Holy Spirit, guess who has to change? It's me. It's you. God's not going to change. And so I want to talk to you about those values. Lifestyles come based upon values and the foundation of life. So if we're going to be salt and life in our society, because this society has really gone the wrong direction. During my lifetime, we've seen so many things happen that the Bible says are sinful, and it's become a regular way of life. If we're going to be salt and light and help the Lord along, because the Lord could do it all Himself. He doesn't need me or you. He can do it Himself if He wants to. But He wants us to be co-laborers with Christ to make a difference in our communities. There are three ways people arrive at their value system. The first way is the self decides. I'm an autonomous human being. Nobody's going to tell me what's right and wrong. I'm going to do what I think is best. And that's the most common way that values are done today. People will tell you, it's my life. You keep your nose on your own face. You do what you want to do, and I'm going to do what I want to do. Do they have freedom to do that? Yes, they do. Are they going to be happy with the choices they're making? I don't believe so. It's going to get them in this life, and it's sure going to hit them at the judgment. In Proverbs 16:25, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. Do you suppose those people that are living in homosexual marriages today really think it's right? I think they do. Do you think that young men and a young woman that are living outside of marriage really think it's okay? Yes, they do. But as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And there's a way that seems right, but it's wrong. Because there is a God in heaven. And God tells us what's right and what's wrong. Problem in our country today is we've kicked God out of our schools. We've kicked God out of our courts. And he's not active. And people aren't going to church the way they used to either. When I was a boy, almost everybody in my neighborhood in Saginaw went to church someplace. That's not the case anymore. When I and Dave go calling on Saturdays, and we haven't been in a couple weeks, but we got to get back to it, but we go door to door, and I would say a third of the people say, I used to go to church here or there somewhere, but I haven't been in church now 15, 20 years. Folks, that's going to ruin a society. The next generation is going to grow up without the teaching of a faithful church. And it's extremely important. I want to give you an example of this. There's a way that seems to be right, but in the end it leads to death. When I say the name Woody Allen, some of you will remember Woody Allen. He was a comedian, not a good comedian in my view, but he was a comedian. He was a movie actor and a movie producer. And Woody Allen had been cohabitating with Mia Farrow for quite a while. Mia Farrow had had a succession of previous husbands, and it had a succession of previous intimate friends. Mia Farrow had many children, some of them her own and some adopted. Well, when Woody Allen over time found his affections for Mia Farrow kind of waning, but his affections for one of Mia Farrow's adopted teenage daughters growing, he decided to take that daughter for himself. Of course, when Mia Farrow found out, she wasn't too happy about it, because in her opinion, that was wrong. Our society at that time, everybody was aghast. What he did was wrong. But this is what Woody Allen said about it. He said, a heart wants what it wants. Now that's true, isn't it? A heart wants what it wants. But if it's evil, and you reach out and take the evil thing, it's going to come back to poison your life. And it poisoned Woody Allen's life, Mia Farrow's life. They both were already messed up, but it just kept getting worse. The second way we determine our values is by our society. And that's basically where we are today. Society, not the church, is telling people what to value. Folks, our society is made up of so many different viewpoints. There's no way it's ever going to come back together unless it comes back in revival in the church and an awakening among the people. There's no way we're ever going to agree on what's right. We discern our sense of values on what society finds acceptable at the time. When the Germans under Hitler began to put Jews to death, and gypsies too, not just Jews, but gypsies too, that society said, that's good. We're getting rid of a mongrel nation. That's what they said about the Jews. Was it good? It didn't pay for them, because the Lord says any nation that goes against the nation of Israel is going to be destroyed. And they were. Folks, we need to be careful. Even our Supreme Court, now we all were aghast a year or two ago when our latest Supreme Court justice, a black female, was before Congress, and a congressman asked her, can you define what a woman is? And she said, no, I'm not a biologist, and I cannot define what a woman is. But this has been going on for years. That's nothing new. Back years ago, the Supreme Court had to decide what was pornography in our land. This is how almost everything that's gone terribly wrong in our society has been because of the courts. When abortion was approved, it was the courts that approved it. When the Ten Commandments came out of the schools, it was the courts that decided that. And so we've got a problem here. But Justice Brennan, and this is years ago, he said we had great difficulty trying to define pornography. We know what it is when we see it, but we can't define it. So the Supreme Court decided to define it this way. Pornography is that which offends the local community's standards. Let me read that again, because it's the craziest thing ever. Pornography is that which offends local community standards. Do you realize in our society today we've got all kinds of people that are being caught with child pornography? In other words, an adult man or woman having sex with a little child. Some of them just babies. But if it's not offensive to the community, local community, is it okay then? That's what the Supreme Court would say. What would God say about that? God has no problem at all defining pornography. He tells us if we look at a woman sexually that's not your mate, you've done what? You've committed adultery in your heart. The Lord doesn't have any problem at all with it. So a local community standard determines what's right and what's wrong today in our society. 2 Corinthians 10:12 says, we dare not to classify or compare ourselves with someone who commends themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. When we as a society begin to make laws based on what the majority thinks, that is not wise. The majority shouldn't rule. God should rule even in nations, not just people's individuals' lives, but God should rule in nations. And for generations after our nation was formed, the Word of God set the standard for right and wrong. But that's not the truth anymore. The third way that values are determined is by Christians going to the Word of God, studying the Word of God, and seeking to live according to the Word of God. Not what I think, because that really doesn't matter. Not what my society thinks, because I got to tell you the truth, that doesn't matter either. But what does God say? In Psalm 100, verse 3, it says, know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Truly, when we sing, this is my Father's world, it really is our Heavenly Father's world. We're not in charge. We're created by Him. He set up what's right and what's wrong according to His plan. And we can rebel if we want to. But the rebellion is going to have a terrible cost. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, even speaking to Christians about judgment, it says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for things done well in the body, whether good or bad. There is going to be a judgment day, even for Christians, those that claim to be Christians, and even for those that don't claim to be Christians. It's just that those that have received Christ are going to the judgment seat of Christ, and those that haven't received Christ are going to the great white throne judgment. You don't want to go to the great white throne judgment. Everybody at that judgment is heading for the lake of fire. You don't want to go to the judgment seat of Christ as a Christian, having thrown your life away, following the ways of your own heart or the ways of society, contrary to the Word of God. Because if you do, it's going to burn up. It's all going to be gone. You want to live according to the Word of God. So, again, in Proverbs 11, verse 3, it says, when the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? Folks, you've got a choice in your individual life to serve the Lord, to make a difference. We can pass out Bibles. We can talk to people about our faith in Christ. We can tell them, this is what the Lord says is right. This is what the Lord says is wrong. And like Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You can do whatever you want, but here's the warning. If you don't walk with God in this life, you will not walk with God in the next life. That's salt and that's light. In Isaiah 5, verse 20, it says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." We are there today. Our newly elected president is trying to get the illegal aliens that are murderers, rapists, thieves out of our country. But we have people that tell us those are good people. They're gang members. And yet they're saying they're good. And President Trump is evil because he's trying to protect our society. He's trying to help. I got to tell you, there are things about President Trump that I don't care for very much, but I really believe he's trying to do the right things. And it's just so discouraging to see people that really believe homosexuality is a wonderful thing, that all these different things that the Bible says are sin are not sin. There's no such thing as sin. Well, there is something called sin, and there is rebellion, and it's all going to be paid for. In Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." Many people, even including many people that go to church, don't fear the Lord. It's a reverential awe for our God. He's Creator God. He has a right to declare what's right and what's wrong. And we have no right to say, you can't do that. God is on the throne. He's not coming down. Either we can determine that we're going to live for God's glory, or we can rebel. But you cannot win that race. Wisdom in the Hebrew language always refers to the ability to do skillfully whatever you're doing. And in order to live skillfully on this earth, you must know God's word. You must live according to it. Yes, you can be successful in the eyes of this world. You can have the biggest house, the best car, the best everything. But what's it going to come to in the end? It's going to mean nothing. We need to be careful here. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what's right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance." So what can we as New Covenant people, because we're not Old Testament saints, we're New Testament saints. Some things have really changed. What do we do to live a godly life, to be salt and light right now? We must make a decision. Our values are based on decisions that we make. We must decide that Jesus Christ is truly going to be Lord. What he says in his word is right, I'm going to say is right. What he says is wrong, I'm not only going to say is wrong, but I'm going to stop getting involved in it. Folks, it's so important. In Psalm 144, verse 15, it says, "Blessed are the people of whom this is true. Blessed are the people whose God is the Lord." I don't always live it perfectly, but with all my heart, I want to serve God. I want to live according to his word. Again, nobody does it perfectly other than our Lord Jesus Christ. But is that your heart's goal? Do you want to know him and to know his word and to walk in obedience to it? If you do, you're going to value what God values. If you don't, if you think you ought to be in charge of your life, you're going to do what you think is best. even if it's contrary to God, if you think your society has the right to decide how they're going to live, and you're going to live according to society's way, you're going to miss the boat. The boat's going to come through and you're going to miss it. Folks, God is calling people to holiness. The Bible says, "Be ye holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy." There is a right and there is a wrong. And you get to choose what you value. Father, grateful for your word. Grateful, Lord, that you call us to choose. To choose for righteousness or to choose for evil. But we must choose. Father, give us your spirit that we might choose to live for your glory, to make you truly Lord of our lives, and to obey you. When we fall short, we praise your name that you've given us an avenue to get it right. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Father, help us not to live like pigs in this world. Help us to live like sheep. Help us to walk in obedience to you. And Father, we're going to give you the praise in Jesus' holy name. Amen.